weeks and then doing some special sermons. But for right now, comma series, the whole concept of this sermon series is understanding that when we take a comma with God, God speaks to us. He starts giving our purpose to us. He starts helping us understand how he built us, how he crafted us, who we are called to be. When purpose comes into effect, we start gaining potential in growing the kingdom. Today's sermon is entitled Missing Comma. Missing Comma. Because when we miss out, we miss opportunities to take a comma with God. We miss moments to spend time with our Lord. We really are missing out more than just time. It's easy to not understand what God is speaking to us when we're not listening. And that can cause us to sit around idly doing nothing. It can cause us to wander, and it can cause us to be frustrated and not really know what we're supposed to be doing on this earth. There's nothing worse than going to work one day and then waking up 20 years later doing the exact same thing and missing out on the mission that God has over our lives, the purpose. I thought of no better person in the Bible to talk about than Abraham. See, God spoke to him at one point in his life, and he just said yes. He didn't really know what his purpose was. He just said yes. He just headed out. He's like, okay, God, I'll start going. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. I don't get it, but I'll faithfully obey you. He was missing a comma in this moment. He just stepped out in faith. And in today's culture, in American culture, it's a lot. This is very scary. If God spoke to us in this situation as Abraham, it'd be very hard to do and follow. It would almost be daunting and impossible. But God calls us without giving us all the answers first. Sometimes he asks us to start stepping into our purpose before we even know all of our purpose. Our church calls it the purpose journey. It's this season you go through of wrestling and refining what your purpose is. And it's very easy to start that, begin it, and 1.5 hours later after a class go, well, I don't know anything else that's better. I'm still stuck right here. Well, it's a journey. Abraham didn't wake up one day frustrated because he didn't have a son and then magically get a son in a day. It was years of waiting. So in our missing comma sermon, I want to look at Abraham's life. And specifically, I want to start off with God's promise. Number one, God's promise. Because God's promise leads to our purpose. A, the first thing that God promised Abraham was God's promise of land. We find this in Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 through 8. I will always keep the promise I have made to you and your descendants, because I am your God and their God. I will give you and them the land in which you are now a foreigner. I will give the whole land of Canaan to your family forever, and I will be their God. First aspect that Abraham had, the first promise, was land. Land. If you were in Abraham's shoes, all he wanted was a son, but God threw in land too. Every time Abraham came back and questioned God, he's like, okay, so this son, you kept talking about a son. And God's like, well, I'm promising you land. That's the biggest aspect, land. God's promises weren't just for a son, but it was also for land, which is interesting. We're going to come back in a moment. B, God's promise of a son. Genesis chapter 17, 15 through 16. Abraham, your wife's name will now be Sarah instead of Sarai, and I will bless her, and you will have a son by her. She will become the mother of nations, and some of her descendants will even be kings. Side note, when God's speaking to him in this moment, he's not just referencing King David, he's also referencing King Jesus. It's really interesting. God's promises led to Abraham's purpose. God promised him land, he promised him a son, but his purpose was to be a father of many nations. He was called that over and over and over. But he couldn't be a father of many nations unless he first had land to house those many nations. What are you going to do? How are you going to have many nations if you're still living in your mom and dad's house? That's not going to work. He had to have land to support many nations. And he can't have many nations without first having a son to spark the many nations. Sometimes God gives us promises that we cannot comprehend, understand, or utilize because he's setting us up for our purpose. So please never be confused that you need to know your complete purpose prior to God blessing your life. And C, the third promise that God had over his life was God's promise of a blessing. So many times God echoed out throughout the scripture how he's going to bless Abraham, bless this, even when he sneezes, bless him. Just kidding. It's pastor humor. Genesis chapter 17, 1 through 6. Abraham was 99 years old when the Lord appeared to him again and said, I am God all-powerful. If you obey me and always do right, I will keep my solemn promise to you and give you more descendants than can be counted. Abram bowed with his face to the ground, and God said, I promise that you will be the father of many nations. That's why I now change your name from Abram to Abraham. I will give you a lot of descendants, and in the future, they will become great nations. Some of them will even be kings. Keep this in mind. God has blessings pouring out through promises over Abraham. I really find this interesting. These three things, land, a son, and blessings. Land, a son, and blessings. So how did Abraham come to understand his purpose? Because he heard God say, oh, you'll be a father of many nations. But in that situation, that would be very confusing. Like, what would that even look like? He can't even comprehend it. And imagine this, he couldn't even comprehend it before he died. We can comprehend it because we're thousands of years after the fact. Sometimes when it comes to purpose and living out our purpose, a lot of it's the journey. Sometimes we won't even see the completeness of God's purpose over our lives. So what did Abraham do to continue in his purpose, moving towards these promises? Two, Abraham's plan. I'm calling his plan because this is what he did. A, relentless. Relentless. If we would only have a heart and mindset of relentlessness to move forward unstopping. See, Abraham chased after his promises no matter what. He just didn't quit. He's like, you promised me a son. I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to keep on going. Just keep swimming. I'll get there. He was relentless. Relentless. Patty and the kids, a few months ago, they went to go help Patty's younger brother move to San Francisco. And so they spent a week getting his stuff ready, helping him out. Really just family time, hanging out. And at one point, Ollie video called me on the phone. And so we're talking back and forth. And it was one of those special moments. You know, your kid's been away for a while and they start talking to you. And Ollie goes, we're going to play trains when I get back, right? And I'm like, yes, we'll play trains when you get back. Just same thing we do every time. Ollie, we'll play trains. And he goes, no, do you promise we'll play trains? I was like, yes, I promise we'll play trains. No, but do you promise we'll play trains? Yes, I promise we'll play trains. Do you pinky promise we're going to play trains? I'm like, okay, Ollie, we will play trains. I'm showing you trains on the floor. There will be trains involved. I was in that moment that I kind of had this moment of understanding of what the Father feels with us. See, it wasn't really about Ollie touching trains. It was about Ollie's presence with me, his father. And it was one of those things that just melted my heart. That's what God's desire is. It's for us chasing after his presence relentlessly, saying, God, I want to spend time with you. Okay, now I'm busy. I got to go to work. No, it's God, I want to spend time with you. Speak to me. Speak to me. I want to worship you today. I might be sitting at my desk. I might have a million things going on. People are screaming. But right here, my prayer closet can be in my mind. Lord, I love you. Relentless. Abraham's plan, the second aspect, B, is responsive. Responsive. It is one thing to be talked to, and it is a whole nother thing to have a dialogue. Have you ever disciplined a child or told a child something? And there's sometimes you could just be like talking at a wall, literally. You're just like, you just say the same thing over, and they're not getting it. And then all of a sudden, like, there's another time you tell them, and they're just so responsive, and they got it. There's a difference. God is after responsive believers. Responsive believers. When God speaks to you, do you respond? That was Abraham's heart. Whenever God spoke to him, he responded to it. It wasn't just like he heard God and said, yeah, okay. But he did it. He put into action what he heard. He was not just responsive with, oh, yes, Lord, I love you. He was responsive of, you said jump, now how high? He is responsive. And he saw his purpose come about. C, responsible. Abraham made mistakes. We all make mistakes. We've all messed up, fallen short the glory of God. But Abraham was responsible for not sitting around blaming everybody else. But he's like, you know what, God? Yeah, I messed up. Can you forgive me? And he moved forward from it. When we're moving forward in our purpose journey, a lot of it is hearing God. But when we mess up, we fess up and go, you know what? I'm responsible for that. My mistake. Let's move forward, God. I trust you and I believe in you. Responsible. I think it's really interesting in Abraham's life. This is kind of a sidetrack a little bit. Some of you guys know the story, some of you don't. Abraham didn't believe God fully when God said, listen, you're going to have a child. He was hitting 99? 99 when the Lord appeared to him again. 99. Abraham didn't believe him. Him and his wife concocted this entire crazy scenario, found a young woman that could bear a child. Things happened so she could have a child that came from him. And God said, did you not hear me? I said you were going to have a child through you and your wife, not you and someone else. He messed up. And what did Abraham do? Did he run away? Did he quit? Did he say, I'm disqualified? Is it over? No, he said, you know what? You're right. I blew it. I messed up. And God said, all right, I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to move forward. I'm still going to keep doing these things. Responsible. Number three, our purpose. Our purpose. There is a serious global cry for purpose right now. It's insane. Through Christians and non-Christians alike. I was sitting at my work and I was talking to a coworker and just sharing about purpose journey and different things we're going to enact in our church with purpose. And we're talking back and forth. And all of a sudden, a girl across the room who's been eavesdropping this entire conversation goes, hey, so when are you doing that purpose stuff? When's that happening? And I was like, well, that's going to be happening in a while. She's like, can you let me know when that purpose stuff is going to be happening? Like, there is a cry for purpose globally. Not just the United States, everywhere. And it's crazy because it's not just it's not just people that don't know God, but it's people that do know God too. Feeling lost and isolated and not really knowing what they're supposed to accomplish on this earth. They just, well, I don't really know what my purpose is right now. I'm just kind of just doing life. Okay, it's going to happen. No, there is a journey to accomplish the kingdom of God. A little bit. The Bible describes humanity as living stones. Living stones. I had this vivid image a while ago when I read that verse, living stones. God doesn't build a brick wall or cinder block wall of the kingdom of God. That's not how it looks. We're not one size fits all cinder blocks fitting in, and if one doesn't fit, it breaks or cracks, and you just slap another one in. No, it's living stones. It's like this beautiful mosaic of patchwork stonework going in. Have you ever seen those old like Ireland or Scotland movies where the stone walls are all different shapes and sizes, but it's this beautiful, elegant wall that stretches the horizon? That's what the kingdom of God looks like if we were all stones, living stones. Only I can accomplish this little thing. Only you can accomplish this. We're living stones in this patchwork of the kingdom of God. That's crazy because the enemy wants to disqualify us so that we are fruitless. And he really does it by saying that we're too old or too young or too sinful or too much of something. And it's like he tries to disqualify us before we even start because he knows we're a threat. And he's bitter and jealous and sad that now we get to live in heaven for eternity. And he's going to be kicked in the lake of fire forever. It's a spoiled little brat. Abraham lacked purpose. It was a missing comma, if you will. But at some point, he decided to follow after God on a purpose journey and seek after God relentlessly, not letting anything or anyone stop him or say anything against him. Traveled for years craving a son, and God gave him a generation to follow, a land, and blessed him. When we feel purposeless or ineffective in our purpose, it's usually because we're missing a comma. It's really where I'm kind of setting up the entire sermon today to get to this last three subpoints. We feel like we're ineffective or just kind of around or just frustrated all the time. It's typically because we're missing a comma in life. I was thinking about this idea of missing comma and having a comma moment with God. Sorry, but I'm going to share a story about you. She was like, gave me a London look right now. If Patty and I are watching a movie or a TV show, we'll be hanging out or watching it. And typically, like, there will be a key point of dialogue that will happen. It's usually like the aha moment of the entire movie, like the crutch line that explains everything that's been happening and it sums up the whole, like, the moment. You know, the moment of a movie, right? Like, it just happens. And like right as the last guy, like he's about to say it, Patty's like, "Hey, do you know what?" And and we'll start talking. She'll just go into a story. And then the funny part is it'll end and then she goes, "Hey, what did he just say?" "I don't know." But I've learned that you can do one of two things. One, you can just keep the movie rolling and try to catch a little bit of both conversations. Or you can pause. You can put the movie on hold. It'll be there when you pick it back up. But you can actually hear the dialogue of the person you love next to you. That's what this sermon series is about. God is continually speaking to us, and our lives are like a movie before our eyes. But at times, we need to put pause so we can hear what God is speaking to us. And it's funny because usually in life, when the most important things are happening, the most strenuous, the most frustrating, the climax of whatever's happening in our life, that's when God starts speaking the most so we can recognize it. See, it wasn't that bad of a story. So how do we discover purpose? How do we know our purpose? See, Abraham didn't really understand his purpose until he understood what God was blessing him with. And then purpose started getting clarified. A, where? God blessed Abraham with land. The first aspect of understanding your purpose is you need to understand where your purpose is enacted. Where? What is the land that God is giving you? What is the location that God is giving you? Typically, I like to call this your community. Is this your coworkers? Is this your family? Is this a car ride, carpool that you have? Land. God has given you land for your purpose. And the first aspect of understanding your purpose is first, where is my land? Where is my cohort? Where is the thing that God is calling me to have purpose within? Because he will not give you purpose if it cannot be contained somewhere. You need a location. And understanding your purpose, the best thing you could do to start with is understanding where to start. Is it your coworkers? Is it your home? Is it your family? Is it your child? Where is your land? In your first purpose journey, it starts with identifying our land and our territory. Your purpose is directly linked to your land. B. Who? Who? Almost sound like an owl. Ooh. God doesn't just give land, he connects souls to it. Your purpose is directly linked to a soul. It might be one soul, it might be a million souls. What is your purpose linked to? And I'll give you a hint, that soul will be located at that land. That soul is most likely not outside that land. Unless you are a special, unique snowflake, and we could discover that later, and we'll figure that out. Something to keep in mind, how long does a miracle of childbirth take? 9 months? 40 weeks? Give or take? A little bit, right? Have you ever seen a child conceived and born like 2 weeks later? Does it happen like that? No? Doesn't? Okay. Nope. Just double checking. No one's had any like surprise I'm pregnant on Friday and then give birth on like Sunday. I know it's happened, okay? But a child was growing the whole time. It wasn't instantaneous growth. So it takes God, let's do some math here. It takes God, we'll say 9 months, to miraculously craft a child in a womb, then have that child. 9 months. But Abraham was walking for 25 years. Did it take God 25 years to build that child within that woman? Probably not. No, see, God wasn't doing the miracle of a child. He was doing the miracle of a father. He took 25 years to craft Abraham to become a father, which was his purpose. His missing comma took 25 years. That's a long time. Don't mistake your purpose. Might take longer than one workshop, please. Abraham was sitting there waiting for a son, and God was sitting there waiting for a father. And the moment they became a father, ready to hold the mantle of a father of many nations, at that point, he was gifted a son. Who? Your purpose is directly linked to a soul. And please do not mistake that soul being the end of your purpose. that soul is the beginning and perpetuation of the purpose yet to come. It is an inheritance purpose. If you are just in it to see one person succeed and then finish and complete out something, you are mistaken. It is a thing that must go on and continue on. I heard a quote once saying, Christianity is one generation away from extinction. If every Christian right now stopped talking about God, it would go extinct as soon as we all died. The person you are speaking to or the people you are speaking to who are directly linked to your purpose is somewhere located on your land. We'll talk about that more later in classes yet to come. See how. How? So Abraham had land. Then he had the promise of land. Then the promise of son. Those are directly linked to how do we identify purpose. But then it said, here's the weird one. It said, I will bless you. I will bless you. That's the third promise that God had. So how does that correlate to our purpose? I'm glad you asked. I was at my work the other day, and I was sitting at my desk, and like a list that was that just scrolled on forever of things I needed to do, just menial tasks, whole bunch of them, laundry lists. I like big projects, big ideas, future things, events. But as soon as I get bogged down by little tasks, they just eat away at my soul. And so they're sitting there, laundry list, and I'm like, I just need to power through. My boss is on vacation. She's expecting these to be done when she gets back. Today's the day. I need to finish them out. So I'm sitting there, and I pick up my phone, and I text the number. And like 5 minutes later, a Starbucks is delivered at my desk. And my coworkers are like, what just happened? A Starbucks just magically appeared at your desk? What's happening right now? And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, you have done nothing today except for have headphones in and plowing through those. How did a Starbucks just show up at your desk? What's happening right now? And I was like, oh, but there's a VIP concierge. It's included with our company working at the collection. You just have to text a number and then they bring it in. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, you can text anything in the collection. They have runners all day long with a little cell phone. You text that cell phone, they bring it to you, boom, you got it. You could do your lunch, you could do your Starbucks, you could do dry cleaning, you could do anything. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's great with our discount too. And they're like, wait, whoa, what discount? And it's like, well, between 10 and 30% off of every store at the collection. You just gotta say that you belong. What else am I missing? How did you find this? Like, we both started the same, how do you know this? Well, I mean, we all got the employee handbook that the owner took the time to put together and write for all employees and future employees, and I took the time to read through it, so I understood all that was available to me. Oh, wait, we had the opportunity to read that too, that's right. I took it for granted, it was just a big book. This happened last week, it was crazy. The Bible is the same way. Don't ever mistake that God does not have stuff in the Bible. All the blessings, all the benefits, all the perks. Someone might not run a Starbucks to your desk, but there are blessings for your life, for you to enact and understand your purpose. God has written it in the book of life. It is sitting there ready to be read. There are benefits and perks because we are employees under his service and we are adopted employees under his service. Never mistake, we are not meant to be spoiled, adopted brats that sit around living off daddy. We are adopted employees. That is a better way of getting it. We are all called into a purpose. We are part of the kingdom of God, and we are here to work. We're here to show people who Jesus' love is for. Don't mistake all the perks and blessings that God has just sitting there lying in wait for you. Don't miss out on it. It is ready and ripe for the taking. I love it. There are perks reserved for every Christian. The only way for you to find them is by cracking open the employee handbook. Our church is entering into a real special season right now. We're fully equipping people to have their purpose and live their purpose out in their communities. But the only way to do that is to understand who you are and whose you are. You can skate by with what you learned in Sunday school, but you won't be as effective as God is calling you to be. How would have Abraham have been the father of many nations if he just stayed living in his parents' home? Not really effective. It probably would have happened, but not to the full extent that God had envisioned for, just like with your life. God has a fullness of plan for you. He's willing to utilize the little that you give him or willing to maximize the much that you give him. We're going to be having this Call to Joy stuff happening throughout our church. If you're interested, I really want to encourage you. If you're skeptical, you're like, I don't really know what that's all about. Could you talk to someone who's standing up here and just say, can you tell me more about that? It's a lot of fun. It's one-on-one. Sitting together in a coffee shop, coming over to house for dinner, whatever you want to do. If you just want to do life together with someone, that's what it embodies. And starting in a couple months, we're going to actually have our workshops for Purpose Journey. So you can sit down and you can fill out the paper, do the bubbles, and you can start mapping out where God is calling you to move forward. Short little classes. Please keep a lookout for that. Let's pray. Lord, bless our lives, bless our time. Lord, you've already placed a calling and a purpose on our lives, but I pray that we would search after that, seek after that, and we become fully effective in maximizing all of the purpose you have over our life. Speak to us as much as we can take in this season, and even more next season, and even more after that season. Where we want to see your kingdom come fully on earth as it already is in heaven. In your mighty name, amen.